Hi there guys, this is Andy from Retro Asylum Podcast. This is a pre-announcement to the main podcast. Now I'm going to talk about a few things. I'm going to talk about a prize, I'm going to talk about the main podcast itself, and then yeah, we'll rock and roll with the main show. First things first, I want to give a big special thanks to ABEEDS C Start, and that's a Facebook page by Darren. We interviewed Darren a few weeks ago, and it's a great interview, great guy, and most of all, he creates some amazing artwork using beads. He creates all these retro gaming artwork. If you haven't seen it, check out his Facebook page, ABEEDS C Start, or go back and listen to our podcast with the interview when we interviewed him. Right, now Darren has been kind enough to give us three pieces of art. They're just small ones, but they're absolutely fantastic. Three of the best 8-bit heroes. We've got Sonic, we've got Mario, and of course, we have a Dizzy. Now, if you want to win these guys, the winner will be announced at the end of July. And let me tell you how you can win this, first of all. Now, I was just thinking of something a little bit different that we haven't done competition-wise and to win a prize. So to win this prize then, I'm going to create a thread on the forum where you can, you know, put your entries in, and maybe even on Facebook and on Twitter. But I want you to take a really artistic photograph or fun photograph of a gaming console or computer, you know, or like a joypad or whatever, you know, you play around with it. You can sort of like, I don't know, Photoshop it. You can make it black and white. You can add lights to it. You can get a beautiful woman holding it. Whatever it is, just take a great photograph with something to do with retro gaming, and we'll pick out a winner at towards the end of July, and you'll win Darren's amazing artwork, which is the Sonic, Mario, and Dizzy bead art. So yeah, definitely check that out. Now I've mentioned that, I want to talk about the main podcast itself before I go into it. Now, this episode we recorded on the same day, Swanny and I. And I tell you what, I haven't had this much fun recording in absolutely ages. And it was nice to record with Swanny in the same room. And we hadn't really sort of like, don't know, had the time to do that in a long, 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 long time. And I tell you what, it was hectic, it was crazies, there was phones ringing, there was dustbin men, there was the window cleaners, my baby was crying, squeaky chairs, loads of different things. But you know what, we had a real blast recording it, and I think in this episode, we really take it back to our early episodes, where we just had a laugh. We sort of, as the episodes, you know, went on at the Retro Asylum, we started going a little bit too serious, so we've taken it old school. Me and Swanny just having a laugh, having fun, and I tell you what guys, enjoy the podcast.
Hi, I'm Zara, and this is Zara's Big Tips Corner. Right, so, a tip. On Target Renegade on the ZX Spectrum, if you get your name onto the high score, type in ERERERERERERER really quickly, and then the text will overwrite the scoreboard. Then if you press return, the game will go into black and white, inverted, and it returns you back to the last level that you was on. And then you've got infinite lives! Yay! Here's a tip for Commodore 64's Quick Snacks. Once the game is loaded, hit the reset button on your Commodore 64. This will reset the machine, and then you can insert a game, any game, and load it up, and it will be much better than Quick Snacks. Yay!
And welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum. This is episode 43. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me in the Retro Asylum studio today is
Mr. Dean Swain. I'm back yet again.
You're back. We haven't heard from you from ages, mate.
Yeah, I've been a busy boy. Not with much gaming stuff, unfortunately. Lots of work.
Yeah.
Little bit of knowledge, but not enough. There's been a few gaming bits and pieces. People would have seen me post, I bought a Commodore 64. I've gone over to the dark side. Or have I?
Before we go into that C64, I want to talk to you about this. I want to quickly mention to our listeners that we are recording face-to-face in the Retro Asylum studio for once, which is weird.
It is weird, because normally I'm in a kitchen or a bedroom somewhere, talking to you, trying to not make too much noise, or breathing down a mic, because a lot of the time I seem to come across as Darth Vader.
I normally talk at the mic, and now I have to concentrate on you, and that's distracting me.
Well, you know, a good-looking bloke like myself can understand why.
I don't know about that. So, right, have you betrayed us then? Are you a C64 fan now?
I've always liked the C64. I might take the mick out of C64 owners. Certainly did back in the 80s and early 90s. You know, I appreciate all the systems.
Yeah.
Whether I'm a fan or not, no, I wouldn't say I was. I've only... See, this is the thing, right? From the... When I got the Commodore 64, I started searching around, seeing what sort of utilities there are for loading games up.
Yeah.
I inquired, you know, if there's an iPhone app that's similar to the Speccy Tape.
Yeah.
And there isn't. Not at the moment. Anyway, right. There's an app on...
On the Android.
Android.
Yeah.
So what I thought I'd do was, you know, all these systems that I've got, or what I find myself doing is, I buy a load of games and I've got too much of a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Commodore 64, I'm just going on eBay, and what I'm doing is just buying budget games, cheap games, and I'll play those. Now, I've only bought two games. It came with 1943.
Right, okay.
And
conversion of the... Was it Capcom arcade?
Capcom arcade game. Now, for those who don't know, I picked the C64 up at a car boot sale.
How much was it?
Well, this is the thing. It was £6.
£6.
And it was a bit grubby looking.
Right.
And it was the later model, the C64C.
Yeah.
And it was... It's actually quite a unique one. Most of these came with a badge. Yeah, it's like a sticker... Not a sticker as such, but it could peel off.
Right, okay, yeah.
Take it off. This one is embossed, engraved.
Oh, it's an engraved one.
Yeah, so these ones are quite rare. Anyway, I paid £6 for it. It came with the tape deck and all the leads and 1943.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to work.
Yeah.
When I got it home, I thought, there's no way this is going to work. £6. Anyway, plugged it in. Sure enough, 1943 loaded up first time.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I've bought Buggy Boy and Ghostbusters, because these are two C64 games that, you know, Ghostbusters, I had it on the Spectrum.
Yeah.
It's a great game, but it's a fairly poor port.
It is a poor port. Yeah, it's nowhere near as good as the original C64. The C64 version's amazing.
Yeah.
So how do you find these games compare then? So tell me about, you know, Ghostbusters then.
And Ghostbusters, it's got that classic music. It's got the speech. The only thing I will say is, my model of the C64, the speech doesn't come out as loud.
Really?
Yeah, there's basically the original bread bin... C64, the SID chip, had a bug in it.
Right.
And the programmers took advantage of that, and they could make the voice quite loud.
Okay.
And the older games that took advantage of that, when you play them on a newer machine, the speech isn't quite as loud.
So it doesn't sound quite the same.
Not quite as nice. So what I might do eventually,
and
if anyone wants my C64, they're quite rare.
Glenn,
I don't care if I only pay £6 for it. If someone would like to do a swap, I might prefer the original C64.
Well, I'm sure there's someone, one of our listeners, or one of our...
Someone on the team. You're not getting it for £6 because I've cleaned it up. You know, it's running lovely.
But the amazing thing is, Dean, you weren't even meant to be going to this car boot. So you were out with your family and you stopped by.
That's right. I went to Leon C. We was going out for the day. You know, I promised my daughter I'd take her to the seaside. I was going to get some shellfish, you know, seafood galore down there. And, I park in this station car park, which I've always done. This year it seems they're holding a car boot sale every Sunday.
Right.
So just by chance I said to my wife, I'm just going to run around it quickly. I won't buy anything, honest. Sure enough, you know, if you've got someone selling a Commodore 64 for £6, you can't go wrong. I mean, it was a gamble and it paid off.
Can't complain about that. Speaking about car boot sales, now we're going to talk about the Essex car boot sale part 2, you know, £20 challenge.
Yes.
But I did see something on Facebook. One of Chris Wilkins' friends who did Revival, there's a picture of him with a box of Vectrex, and I think he must have got that for about £6 as well, Dean. And I sent you a picture of that. How jealous are you of that?
I'm very jealous. Now, I've got a Vectrex, but it's not boxed. And it certainly didn't cost me £6. I got mine fairly cheap. It was only about £35. It had something wrong with it at the time.
Yeah.
And I only paid a couple of quid to get it working.
Right.
But £6, you know, you go out on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning, whenever, and to see that, it must have... He probably needed to pinch himself to check.
I couldn't believe it. As soon as I found out, I had to send you that picture.
Yeah.
Now, let's quickly tell everyone what we're going to talk about in today's episode, because we've skipped quite a bit there. It's going to be a little bit more raw, a little bit less edited. We're going to talk a little bit about the Essex Car Boot Challenge, the Retro Asylum one. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Retromania.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Lucky Sevens Arcade.
Yes.
And then just maybe talk about a few of the other games we've played recently, sure, and just round it up, basically.
Hello, Mr. Sid here. If you're after some retro gaming goodness, then you have come to the right place. From the Speccy to the Sega Master System, Capcom to Codemasters, Space Invaders to Space Harrier, it's all covered in the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
So, alright, let's start off then. Retro Asylum Car Boot Challenge Part 2.
Yeah.
Cheated and got there early, because I said we'll meet there for 6:30.
No, you said 6:15.
Oh, 6:15. Right, okay. What time did you say you got there for?
I got up at 4:15, because I live a good hour away from where the car boot is.
Right.
I had to go and pick Paul up.
Yeah.
Which is Holly Cool on the forums. He lives about 15-20 minutes away from me, so I picked him up. We thought it'd take about an hour to get there, but of course it was early, there was no traffic on the roads, and you know, a little smart car on the M11 and ran the M25 and A127 whizzed along, and we got there probably about 10 to 6, so people were still setting up,
and you sent me that message and I'm like, oh my god, he's sort of like trying to get all the good stuff before we get there.
I'm texting
Ellie saying Dean's already there, the Sly Git's already there, try and get here at ASAP. And I think they got to me for about just after 6:10, and the whole way down in the car, I'm thinking, that git, Dean, is probably, we're going to get there. He's going to have a C64 on his arm, a Vectrex, an Amiga, a Super Nintendo, an NES.
If only.
Yeah.
If only. I walked away with one little itty-bitty cartridge for a Game Boy Advance, the Pac-Man collection, paid £2 for it, probably over the odds.
Yeah. But let's talk about the event this time, Dean, because it looked a little bit cloudy. It looked like it was going to rain.
It rained the night before.
Which I think had affected it.
Yeah, it certainly rained where I live the night before.
It didn't seem as big this time.
It wasn't as big, and there was a lot of spaces not being used by people. There were still bargains to be found, which most of, well, all you guys did.
Let's tell our listeners who actually went. So it was you, there was me, there was Holly Cool, there was Michael, and there was, who was it? Ali. Captain Blood, or aka Retro Hunter.
Yeah.
And we split up into two teams. It was me, you,
and Paul.
And Paul, who did it. And then it was like, who was the other ones? The other two.
Yeah, the other two, Ali and Michael, went their own way.
Yeah, and we did come across some great stuff. Shall I talk about what... Okay, what was the game you got again, Dean?
It was the Pac-Man collection on GBA.
And have you played this then, or have you had the chance?
I loaded it up yesterday when I got in to check whether it works.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the original Pac-Man.
Yeah.
It's got Pac-Mania on it, which isn't a bad game. You know, jumping over the ghosts added a...
Pac-Land or not?
No Pac-Land, unfortunately. Well. And it's got Pac-Man Arrangement, which I'm guessing is a new Fandango version of the classic game. Yeah, sadly no Pac-Land, but I knew that anyway. So.
Right, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what I got then. One of the first things I got, and it's one of the first things I spotted, was Binatone
console.
And I was so excited with that, because I think I paid, a tenner for that, I think?
You did, and it was boxed with the instructions.
And the box is nice looking good.
Yeah, it's really good condition.
And then we went and bought a coffee. You know, put a bit of sugar in there, a bit of milk. And as I went to take a sip of my coffee,
It went all over the box.
It went all over the box, but I think, if anything, Dean, it's given it that aged look.
It has given it that brownie orange effect, which David Dickinson would probably appreciate.
And you guys kept on winding me up. Keep that coffee away from that sort of Benetton. And I haven't had the chance to play it yet. I'm looking forward to playing it. It's one of the first systems I owned, and it's amazing that it was there. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be there.
It was well spotted as well, because this guy had a... What did he have? He had a PlayStation, was it? Or
he had a number of different things. I mean,
but it wasn't a store that just sold games. There was loads of stuff. You know, it was a lot of turt and rubbish.
I think that's what it is about these events, Dean. You really have to have like eyes like a hawk. You really need to look around and just sort of spot things before anyone else. I mean, when we first started, all of us, there was these other two guys.
Yeah, they must have been dealers. They were like, well, vultures. They were literally going through people's bags. They were snapping stuff up. As soon as someone opened their back door of a van or a boot of a
jumping
car...
Jumping on them. There was PS1 games, weren't there?
Quite rude in a way, but I guess if that's your business, that's the way you have to be, snap up the good stuff.
Yeah.
Quite irritating for us.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's one of those things.
But it's one of those things. I didn't see those guys there again. So maybe they spent all the money
Run round quickly to that car boot sale and go on to another.
Yeah.
I should imagine they have to do quite a bit of travelling.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how you have to be if you've got a retro game shop, whether it's actual bricks and mortar or an eBay shop, you know, whatever online. They have to get their stock from somewhere, and I should imagine it's that kind of thing. Car boot sales and, you know, house clearances. So,
All right, let's talk about the other thing I bought then. I got myself, for £6, it's not quite retro yet, it was the Xbox. Now,
an Xbox One or an Xbox?
The classic Xbox is what
Xbox
we call
One
it now.
Anymore.
I've nicked that from E3.
Yeah.
Now, it's the classic Xbox. I didn't realise how big and chunky these machines are, but they're built pretty well, actually. I think it's the last generation of consoles that are built to last, really. Originally, the girl said £10, and I just said, I'll give you a fiver for it. And then she was like, no, it's not really, like, you know, mine's to sell. And I was like, well, you know, where is he? It's like, oh, he's not here. And I was like, well, he's not meant to know. So then she sort of said £6, and I couldn't argue with £6.
Yeah.
So I got it for £6. I bought two Xbox arcade games as well, and they were like the compilations, the Midway collections.
Yeah.
They're not too bad. I tried some of those. Some of those, they had Mortal Kombat, they had Narc, they had Total Carnage, Rampage World Tour Edition.
Yep.
They work fantastic, and the bonus thing was, when I did get home, it had like one of those racing games actually in the actual...
Project Gotham Racing, wasn't it, in the disc drive?
I think it's that one, it was actually in the disc tray. Gave it a go, it's not a bad little game. So what else did I get? I can't quite remember what I got myself. You got a list there? Oh, you got the photographs?
I've got the photographs, you've got a GBA link, which goes to...
Boxed as well.
Boxed, and pretty much... nearly sealed.
Yeah.
It goes to your...
So what were these exactly? I mean, I bought it. I don't know what it does exactly. Well,
on your GameCube, you had a Game Boy Player.
Yeah.
And I think you could plug this in. You can use the Game Boy as a controller.
Right.
For those games.
Yeah.
And I think there were certain games, might have been Zelda or something.
Like a Four Swords game there was that
you could
play multiplayer.
Added elements to the game anyway.
So it predates sort of like a 3DS thing. You have one screen there, and then you got the other screen on the TV.
I think that's how it works. I never did try it. I didn't have one of those link cables. So, yeah, it's something. You know, how much did you pay for
that? Only about four something pounds. And this time, guys, the limit was £20 that we had to spend. And I actually had money to spare this time, unlike last time where I went into about £40.
Yeah.
This time I had about £1.40 to spare, so I did really, really well. It's my second time at the Dunton Car Boot Fair, so this time I thought I'd be more careful what I spend my money on.
Bit like me, very tight.
Yeah, you've got one thing.
I'm super tight.
Right, so what else did I get, Dean, from that photograph?
I can see two PlayStation 1s. I think they were yours.
Yeah, again, how much did I get those? What was it for? I bet a stupid amount, wasn't it? 50p or a pound?
50p. 50p. Two PlayStation 1s,
the slim ones.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were, but you know what? I could always sell them on eBay and be a bit greedy that way. I don't know if I want to do that, though. I hate people that do that. Get something for dirt cheap and up
make
the price.
Make a profit on it.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I've never done it. My wife always says to me, "Are you going to sell that on? Because you've got that fairly cheap." And, you know, I'll tell her if the, what the price is originally and what have you. I never have the heart to part with them.
No, it's kind of hard because...
But I only buy stuff that I actually want. I don't buy duplicate consoles or anything, so...
To me, I mean, I've got myself one Xbox, two PS1 Slims, a Game Boy, like the one that you said, the wire thing, two Xbox games, one PS2 game. I think that was another arcade collection. I can't remember which one that was, though.
No, I can't remember.
And the Binatone.
Right, so I know Paul bought a Mega Drive, didn't he? Mega Drive 2.
Oh, he did really well, actually. I think it was a close call between me and Paul who got the best deal this time round.
He also got the GameCube with a screen.
Yeah.
It had something that went underneath as well. It wasn't a Game Boy player.
I thought that's what it was. I thought it was a Game Boy player that you got with that.
Might have been a third-party one. It certainly wasn't the original.
But the
Nintendo
TV screens,
one.
Though, I mean, I saw this, and I thought about getting it. The only thing that put me off was, I've already got a GameCube. I don't really need another one, really.
Yeah, that's my way of thinking, you know. Yeah. Unless I know that my one might be on its way out or something.
Now, are these things quite collectible then, Dean? Like the little TV screen monitor things?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I mean, Ali seemed to think it was a bargain.
Yeah.
He said he wished he had snapped it up at the time. So, yeah, maybe. But it's not something I would use.
Yeah.
You know, so the GameCube would be hooked up to my TV in the games room. And, but if you're buying it maybe for a youngster...
Yeah.
Little screen, they can use that in their
and I think that was one of the reasons why he decided to get it, because he said it's perfect for his boy.
Yeah, for his son.
Yeah, so that way he can play it whenever he wants. So what else did he get then, Paul?
He got the Mega Drive 2, which came with a controller. I think he paid £6 for that, maybe. I know the figure of £6 keeps coming up, but it was fairly cheap.
And if you can hear a baby crying in the background, that's my daughter who's downstairs with her mum. She's crying, wanting daddy's attention.
Probably,
God, I feel bad now.
It's either that or I scared her as I walked through the door.
Yeah, she saw you.
Yeah, she went a bit quiet.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much it. He bought a Star Tours mug, but it's not really gaming related.
Still retro related, but
still retro related.
You know what though? What I did notice that there's loads of Mega Drive, loads of sort of certain consoles that look really, really sort of like not like they would work. But next time, I think what I would do is buy them for really, really cheap because maybe the controllers work, and controllers on eBay sometimes go for
sometimes
£10,
£12. If you're looking to make a bit of a profit on these things. Pick them up if they've got a controller with them or a power pack, because you know something on these consoles will probably work.
Yeah. And
bits like that you can sell on.
Yeah.
If you're looking to make a bit of money.
Yeah.
But or if you're just after a spare joypad.
Yeah.
You know, it might be cheaper just to go to a car boot sale and find one that looks a bit knackers.
Yeah.
And it might work fine.
I think that that's what I'll try next time.
So Ali.
Retro Hunter, and let's talk about Ali. He is a pro at this. He's got an eye for it. We talked about this. He's like the Predator.
Yeah.
He sort of walks around, and you can see that he sees
he's
in heat vision.
Clocking the lot. Yeah. He has got like this 3D heat vision.
It just shows up. He spots something that's retro. He's on it straight away.
Yeah. So he bought a third party light gun that was. I had one of these. I can't remember what they were called. It came in a brown box. It was for Time Crisis.
It
had a pedal, very close to the Namco released one. I remember them being quite expensive.
How cheap did he get this one for again?
I don't think
he paid a lot.
I don't think it was a lot at all.
It's under about a fiver, I think, maybe he got it for.
At the most. Box was a little bit tatty, but, you know, we looked inside and the contents was fine.
The only thing is that Ali said, like, he hasn't got, like, a TV to play it on now. He's got... Because it won't work on modern TVs.
Yeah, so he should just give it to me. And if you want to do so, I'll take it off your hands.
Dean's more than happy to pay you to take stuff. So far, he's been given an Amiga. What was it? What else have you been given?
A PlayStation 2 Slim.
Yeah.
Possibly a Saturn. I'll be getting soon when I see one of my friends.
He's so lucky, guys. He's so lucky. So, what else did Ali get then?
I can see a couple of. No, I can see PGA Tour Golf on the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
Medal of Honor on the GameCube. Frontline. FIFA 2005. I don't know why.
FIFAs are everywhere. Let's talk about what are everywhere. Now, you go to car boot sales and you see loads of people's stuff. You know, I don't want to call it rubbish, but it's things that people want to get rid of. And then you just see it's like a graveyard of FIFA games, no matter where you go.
Sports titles.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, you know, a lot of, they're not hardcore gamers, I don't like using that term, but a lot of people, they buy a console, they're into their sports, so they buy sports games, and they flog them on, and it seems every car boot sale and second-hand shop you go to, or charity shop, are littered with sports titles, especially FIFA, because there's so many releases.
Well, every year they get, you know, surely they'd be able to update these things from modern consoles. But anyway, I mean, FIFA is absolutely everywhere. Yeah. You see games, it's
FIFA. You do get sick and tired of playing them. iToy on PS2, you seem to find everywhere.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. I'm going to these car boot sales and, you know, there's loads of PlayStation 1 games, loads of PlayStation 2 stuff, but I'm not really interested unless it's an arcade compilation.
Or something that's really, really special. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about what Michael got.
Right.
I've got a price list. He sent me something here.
Yeah.
He said he got International Karate for the C16 for £1.
Yeah.
Now, what was this like on C16? I haven't played any contact.
I'm guessing it's sort of a scaled-down version of the C64 original.
Right.
It was in good nick. I've got a picture of the case.
What is the C16, Dean? I've never sort of seen one.
C16, that is a good question.
Just like a more basic version, sort of.
You had the VIC-20.
Yeah.
And then I thought the Commodore 64 come after the VIC-20. C16 must... I don't know if it...
Well, if any of our listeners know, then, please let us know.
We're meant to be the experts on this, but off the top of my head, I can't remember. I was never originally into the Commodore scene, so...
I just do this podcast because, like, it's my only output to talk about games.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So what else did he get, then? He got Sonic 2 and Echo the Dolphin for the Sega Mega Drive for £3.
They were both in good condition.
Well, £3 each.
Were they £3 each?
Yeah, that's what he put here, £3 each. WWF Superstar and Robocop on the Game Boy for £1 each.
Right.
Now, I don't know if we should talk about this. There was a little place where this guy was selling loads of Game Boy games.
Yeah.
And he had them £1, £2, £3 for the more expensive stuff. Now, he was telling us about these Japanese... Was it Japanese or Chinese Game Boy games?
Yeah, you know the ones with...
32 in one.
Yeah, but there's really only 6 games on there, if you're lucky.
And then the geeky side of me came out because he said something and I really wanted to correct him, Dean. What was that about again?
Oh, what game was it?
Donkey Kong versus Mario.
Yeah, he seemed to think that he played it on the SNES originally.
Yeah, he said, like, yeah, he goes, the best version was on the SNES. And you know what, guys? It wasn't on the SNES. And as soon as he said that, I could see everyone else, all the other guys from Retro Asylum, really wanted to say, actually, no, it didn't come out.
We couldn't be bothered correcting him, though, because it just would have made him look silly.
Yeah.
He's trying to impress us with his
knowledge. To be fair, though, you could play that on the, what's it called, with the little add-on thing you could play on the SNES?
Yeah, Super Game Boy.
And it added on, like, a nice little background and certain colours to it, so...
So maybe that's what he was talking about.
Maybe.
Yeah, and Michael also picked up, non-gaming related, Ultra Magnus, the Transformer. Missing his fists, though.
He missed his fists.
And House Party on VHS.
We got a lot of feedback on that on Twitter. On Twitter, everyone was like, whoever bought House Party is the winner.
So well done, Michael.
Yeah, I think Michael was the winner, actually, for that. Just for House Party alone. I love that flat top that one of the guys used to have in that. So how did you find this car boot sale compared to the other? You didn't get anything. Was that just you being more picky because of money? Or
Both, yeah. I mean, if I'd seen something off... fancied, then I probably would have picked it up. I'd drawn money out, you know, I had a bit of money I could have spent.
Or is it we were too quick to get things before you got them?
No, not at all, because there's, like I say, I've got to the stage in my collection now where, I'm only looking for certain games, and if something I see, you know, shouts out at me, then I'll pick it up. But I'm not going to just pick up stuff for the sake of buying things now.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment, I'm trying to sort out my games room. I've bought a bookcase, that's £30, because I'm running out of room.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my room's fairly big, but I'm stacking stuff up. I've got shelves, but...
So the studio where we're recording here is actually my wife's art studio in the house. How big is your game room, the size of like this then? Because it's only a tiny room that we've got here.
Yeah, no, it's probably... Two and a bit times bigger than
this. God, you've got, that's what you call a gaming space, Dean. You're so lucky.
It's a big gaming space,
so
but
lucky.
It's finding time to get out there. I mean, my daughter is actually going to have a corner of this now, because she's very into painting and drawing.
Yeah.
And she likes to do it on the kitchen table, which, right. You know, getting paint on my kitchen table is giving me the ump. So, yeah I've cleared out a corner for her. So
aren't you worried, though, about space. Your consoles being painted on or no, being accidentally knocked off?
The
or?
Room's big enough, she won't be anywhere near them.
Right.
So, have them securely put away. A problem.
Going back to the boots, though, I just want to talk about the etiquette of seeing what you see and who sees it first, because we were both looking at this. So I saw this bin outside machine, but how would it really work if you really wanted that as well? Is it like the first one to see it spots it, or who really wants it?
Yeah, I guess you can have a conversation about it.
Or a fist fight afterwards, then?
Possibly, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the Binatone, I had one.
Yeah,
at the time they were great systems. It's not something really I'd go for. Unless, I don't know. I mean, it was a great buy.
Yeah.
It was a great buy, but I remember as a kid...
Well, it wasn't until I spilled coffee on it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it worked fine. That was only on the box. I remember as a kid having great trouble tuning that into my TV back then. And that was on an old TV. You know?
So it's going to be a real pain to
try and
tune it
in. Yeah, I mean, I've got a CRTV that I use for my consoles.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's very, very basic, and it's nothing that I haven't got on the Atari 2600.
Yeah.
You know, I've got Breakout, I've got the paddle.
Yeah.
So I've got the same thing already.
Yeah.
Sort of. Unless, you know, I'm not a completist. I'm not one of these guys who has to have everything.
Well, let's talk about the stuff then. What was the stuff you were hoping to find at this boot sale? Like, really, what did you really think,
realistically,
what are you on the lookout for?
What I would love to find is maybe some Vectrex games, but they're very rare anyway in the first place. So finding something like that is hard, but it does happen. You know, the box Vectrex, which we was talking about, is proof of that. Maybe some 8-bit titles, like I say, Commodore games, Commodore 64 games, I'd like to find. I don't want to be paying too much for them. That's why I've been going for more of the budget titles, you know.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters that I've got was the Ricochet
version. Oh, yeah,
version.
I remember, with the
bullet
thing.
Because I thought to myself, that's the version I had on the Spectrum, so I don't mind getting that for the C64. The Buggy Boy I've got was the double cassette version.
Yeah.
It wasn't on two cassettes, but it's a double case version.
You know,
a lot of the games were released like that. So I'm trying to kind of recreate my Spectrum collection with a C64. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to be anywhere near as big. Because there's a lot of games that were better on the Spectrum than they were on C64.
Yeah. But Glenn said, like, you had just swapped over to the dark side.
No, Glenn is wrong.
Glenn was like, oh, that's Swainy.
What I have got, the last one I bought from eBay, which hasn't arrived yet, was...
Quick Snacks on the C64.
No, that ain't going to happen. Quick Snacks on the C64 was rubbish, as was Target Renegades.
Yeah, and Robocop.
And Robocop. Great music and all these games, but they don't make me want to go out and buy
them. The question is, Dean, Double Dragon, are you going to get it for the C64?
No, I'm not going to get the Melbourne House version. And the other version's quite rare, which came on cartridge.
Right.
If that came my way for the right price...
Yeah.
I'll probably get it, just because I've never played that version.
Yeah.
The original C64 version is worse than the Spectrum version.
Yeah.
You all know what I think about the Spectrum version. It was poop. So, no, I'm not going to get crap games. I've ordered, what I was about to say, was a compilation of System 3 games, which had International Karate, Last Ninjas 1 and 2, Flimbo's Quest, and something else on it. So I've ordered that. You know, these are on tape. I have to wait for them to load up. That takes a bit of time, but that's all part of it.
But going slightly off topic then, we'll go back to the boots in a second.
Yeah.
Will you be getting that Mayhem in Monsterland, that game that Glenn really talks highly of? Because it does look nice.
I see it on sale, but I know it took Glenn a while to find it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can probably get it on eBay, and it's probably quite expensive. So that's the other thing. Some of the games are quite dear. You know, Turrican.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the big one is Great Giana Sisters. Giana Sisters.
Yeah.
Try and pronounce it properly. There's a buy now one on eBay at the moment.
Has that lost
300 quid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I ain't paying 300 pounds for no game.
Exactly.
Not even on... You know,
not even if someone said Double Dragon, the actual arcade game, £300. There you go, Dean.
I ain't got
it's
the space
yours.
For it. I haven't got the money.
You wouldn't get it.
No, because I can buy it on
somewhere,
my phone
and,
if I'm really.
And they had it, £300. I'd buy it and I'd be like, Dean, I just bought Double Dragon.
Good
I'd take pictures
you.
Of me right next to it all the time and
That's
send
nice.
Them to you.
But yeah, you know, I've played Double Dragon more than enough. Not, you know, I don't feel the need to hug the machine of a night or anything.
Wow.
Or stroke it. Or,
stroke it.
Yeah, you know, it's a great game. I love the game.
Yeah.
But I haven't, you know, if I was rich, yeah, I would do it.
I like sort of drawing you in. I sort of draw you in to talk about Double Dragon all the time.
Yeah, I know. We're talking. It's all about a different game. There's other games, arcade games that I love: Chase HQ, Shinobi, Golden Axe. All those.
Let's go back to the card boot sales. Yeah. So what the point I wanted to get across was, Dean, it's like, why is it better to do the card boot sales as opposed to eBay? Because like now, I don't want to get stuff off eBay.
Well, it's great. What I like doing, you know, the C64, for example, bargain.
Yeah.
I like going on, and I've got to admit, I like bragging. I like uploading that picture and say, boys, look what I've got. How much should I pay for it? £6.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna. And the thing was, and this sounds awful, I can't remember the guy, I think it was Rob. He's only just joined up on the forum.
And yeah.
I apologise if you're listening, mate. He was hovering behind me at the car boot sale, Leon.
Did you know who it was? Rob for the forum?
No, because he hadn't signed up, and he knows. I think he knows some of the other guys.
How did you
guys.
Know he was a retro collector or, you know, gamer behind you?
I didn't know for sure, but I could feel, you know, at the corner of my eye, I knew someone was hovering behind me. As soon as I've asked the guy
the
twice,
force.
And the thing was, I didn't have any money on me that day. I had to just run over to my missus quickly, and he was about to step in, and I just grabbed the money off my missus, got back in there, and he was about to snap it up, and nope, that's mine. And yes, I apologise. I do like to.
Did he know it was you? Did he know that you were Swainy from the Retro Asylum podcast?
I'm guessing so, because he then joined up on the forum and said, Swainy, I was behind you at that point. So yeah, I knew there was someone there. I didn't know it was, you know.
Wow,
but,
so.
Yeah. I do. I like grabbing a bargain and being able to talk about it. It's good for the show, I think, as well. And
I think that's something we should do. We should have filmed ourselves going to these things and discovering these things. Because to me, I'll be honest with you, I love this event. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I hate my job with inventions, guys. Maybe I'm going too deep, dark and personal. I hate my job. But that day, I couldn't stop thinking about the fun I had at this boot fair, hanging out with guys like Mikey, yourself and Ali, and, you know, who's the other one?
Paul.
I had a great time talking to you guys about retro games. It was fun looking with it. It was a nice day out, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think there is a certain buzz. You know, sometimes I wake up the weekend and I think, I want to go to a car boot sale today.
Yeah.
And in your imagination, you're thinking, I wonder what I could find. It's like Paul yesterday was hunting for a Vectrex. He wants a Vectrex.
Yeah.
I told him that story, you know, I showed him the picture.
Yeah.
And that one that guy found was pristine. The box on it was lovely.
Yeah.
In fact, it looked like it had been Photoshopped, maybe.
Well,
It hadn't.
I'll tell you what I want to get. I mean, I want to get a Super Nintendo or an NES. I don't want to get them on eBay for £30, £40. I just want to be able to find one.
You want a bargain?
I want a bargain, yeah. If I see one for, say, £10 max, I'm willing to pay for it.
Mm.
Or if it's got loads of games, maybe £15. But I just want the whole.
I think the trouble is, so many people now wising up to it. They know they can get a good price on eBay. Or if they do go to a car boot sale, you know, they try and charge a fortune. But that ain't what car boot sales are about. You've got to be prepared to be a bit of banter and knock the bit of price off.
Well, one thing I noticed, Dean, actually, I'm getting better. It's my second car boot sale.
Bartering down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not looking so excited, because I pointed out to you the other day.
Yeah,
you
were like,
look what they got over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's seeming too keen, because as soon as they see you coming, they'll be like, well, that will be £10 when you could have got it for about £3.
Yeah.
And it's trying to sort of keep that poker face. You know, to try and do it.
So it's weird, because I've been on the other side where I'm selling stuff.
And right.
I don't back down.
Yeah.
I don't back down. Yeah, fair enough. Don't want it. I'll see you later, mate.
Yeah.
You know, and that usually the people come back after a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it depends on how good a seller you are and how good a buyer.
Right, okay. Well, I think, all in all, Dean, the Essex Car Boot Sale Challenge, £20 challenge, I think went pretty well.
Yeah, we've had a few comments. You know, not everyone thinks that some of the stuff was really retro, and in a certain point I do agree. You know, personally, I'm after older stuff. There's PS2 games out there that, yeah, there's a lot of pickup videos on YouTube, and people are going mad on GameCube games and all that. To me, it does, for my personally, it doesn't feel retro enough at the moment.
But you know, I'll give you my point of view before we round the section up. For me, I wouldn't even say I'm a retro gamer, Dean. I'd just say I'm a gamer.
You're a gamer.
I'm a gamer.
Yeah.
And I appreciate just gaming. Mm. So if I go out to this boot sale, even if they have got like a, even a 360 game, Dean, if I find a decent price one, I'd pick it up.
Yeah.
If I see like a Spectrum game, I'd pick
it up. If it's a game that you're interested in, it doesn't matter whether it's old or not.
I know really, the site's called Retro Asylum, but I think eventually it's what you perceive, how old you are, generation.
Yeah.
So like someone like Glenn could see something like the Sega Saturn as more retro.
No, they do.
So there's different...
A lot of people look at the PS2 as retro.
Yeah.
And again, for me, it feels like it's only just finished production. There were still games being published.
There's a difference between the PS2 and the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast is deemed more retro because it died earlier.
It died earlier and it wasn't as big at the time. So people feel like it's a bit more rare, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I like the Dreamcast. I've got one, but it's my original one. You know, I didn't sell it on. And I certainly don't feel the need to go out buying Dreamcast games. I've got the games I want for them.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you have found your way to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. This is Captain Blood 7 and you are listening to the Retro Asylum.
I want to quickly talk about our event, Dean, Retromania.
Yes.
Now, let me bring up the information. This has been held August the 25th, bank holiday weekend, on the Sunday in Wickford. Let me bring up the postcode. It is Wickford Community Centre, Market Road, SS120AG. And it's Sunday, 25th of August. Now, it's not going to be a big event. It's not going to be Revival. It's not going to be Play Expo. It's a small venue. It's a small venue. I think maximum get about 50 people there, and it's for our listeners.
Now we've got a window cleaner on the windows, by the way.
Yeah, we've got a window cleaner. So you can hear any of that noise.
Anyway, so it's more of a community-based event, isn't it? This isn't going to be like Replay, as we said, or anything. Don't expect anything like that. This is going to be a few consoles, a few people, more about maybe gaming challenges on the hour sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just a bit of a get-together where we can talk about games you like and... Yeah,
I mean, the reason why I'm doing this event is just to sort of get the opportunity to sit down and play the games I actually have. The guys brought an interesting topic on the podcast last time round. Do you get to play the games that you own? Mm. And I'll be honest, I don't.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to set a day aside where I can go, you know what, this day I'm going to play my Master System, I'm going to play my Dreamcast, I'm going to play my Mega Drive, and I'm going to have friends around that can play it with me. So I'm doing this event for you guys, for myself, to hang out and just have a great day, basically. What do you think this event will be like?
Oh, I think it'll be rubbish.
It'll be rubbish,
Of course it won't.
I'm meant to be selling it.
It's a small gathering of people, so anyone who's expecting Play Expo or Replay, forget it. It's not that kind of event. This is us just bringing a few consoles along, small gathering of people, a social meeting.
We've got to thank Steve, who goes by the name of Starship, because he's letting us borrow over 40 machines.
Yeah, and he thinks he's going to get them back. But he's wrong.
Yeah, over 40 different machines. So what have we got? We've got like even the Virtua Boy, got Super Nintendo, Sega Saturns, Dreamcast. So any machine that you can think of, we have. We've got another person called Steve who's bringing in some mini arcade machines.
Yep.
It's called Retrocades, and that's Steve from the Monkey Chunk Show. So thank you very much, mate. Great podcast, by the way. And I can't wait to play these out, and he's selling them as well.
Yeah. I only hope I can be there, because at the moment I'm not
shift
too
work.
Sure. Yeah,
you have
shift
to pull a sticky, mate.
Well, we can't say that on air because you never know who's listening.
Oh, it's true. Don't
as if
sticky.
I would do such a thing.
I would not
like
endorse
that.
Being sickness.
No. But, if I can be there, I really want to, because it's always nice meeting listeners. And we'll have a laugh.
But we've got a few things lined up for that event, Dean. We've got, Damien's doing that little workshop thing, where it's called.
Yep. So if you want that fixed on the cheap, bring it along.
He can sort of open it up and try and find out and tell you what's wrong with it. He might be able to repair it there, but he'll give you...
And we accept no responsibility for breakage or damages.
What else? We're doing, a pub quiz towards the end. Oh, I forgot to mention, it's been held from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Now, we've got to pack away for about 6-ish, and after that... The bar stays open till 11 o'clock, so we can hang around, do a little quiz. We're doing a live podcast. We can have a little chat. It's in the middle of the town centre. There's a Pizza Hut. There's a Chinese. There's an Indian. That sounded like I was telling a joke then.
There's an Irishman, a Scotsman. It's going to be... It'll be a great event, you know. It'll be a laugh. It's something to do, because... Yeah.
If you listen to the show, you know, check out the website. You can find out more details down there. And that's on the 25th. That's Retromania, Wickford and Essex.
Yeah, 25th of August, that is, by the way.
Well, what did I say?
Just the 25th.
25th, just a random number.
Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's it. It's not Christmas Day. Right, so...
It will be for us.
And it will be.
This is Matt Dinaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
Next section then, we have been to a little arcade. Well, it's not quite open yet.
No, it's not ready yet. You know, hopefully, fingers crossed, this will come off. And
this arcade is called a Lucky Sevens. Now, what we will do, we'll add the little interview that we did with John at the actual arcade. John's the guy who's been managing it. His business partner is the guy who owns it. And we went in there. It's a large space in the middle of South End South End Victoria?
Yeah, it's right near HMV, for those who know the area. It's not down at the seafront. This is, you go up some stairs into the venue, and you know, it's quite a big space. They hope to have a food bar eventually and drinks, you know, serving drinks. I think there's, at the moment, they've got 5 pinball machines, a load of pool tables, and some classic arcade games.
Yeah, one of my favourites that I saw down there was Gauntlet 4-player arcade.
Yeah, they've got 2 versions of Gauntlet, haven't they?
They've got the original
Legends.
Yeah. So, yeah, guys, listening to the interview, we'll play it right now. Hello everyone and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum. I'm your host, Andy, and joining me today is my other co-host,
Dean Swain.
And we've got a very special guest. We have got John. How are you doing, John?
Hi, folks.
Right, so we're here at Lucky Sevens. Did I say that correct?
Yep, you did indeed.
Now, Lucky Sevens is an arcade. It's a new arcade that's going to be happening in Southend. I did start calling it... What was I calling it, guys?
Lucky 7-7s.
Lucky 7-7-7s. Doesn't roll off the tongue as well as Lucky 7s. So, all right, tell us about this then, John. When did you get the idea? How did this all happen then?
Okay, well, really it was my colleague's idea, Paul, who unfortunately couldn't be here, but he had an idea to open a retro 80s arcade.
Yeah.
But really it was finding a venue,
right,
a place to do it. So he was patrolling South End High Street quite a lot, and eventually this place came up, which actually used to be Barclays Bank, and he managed to secure the top floor.
Yeah.
So we've got the whole of the top floor to basically fill up with cool games for people.
How big would you say the actual the area is in square feet?
Good question. I knew you were going
to
ask me
right
that.
Not right to the end.
Big enough to hold over 100 machines and probably another 20 pool tables. So, plenty big enough.
Mm. All right, so what machines do you actually have so far, though? Because you're still very early in the whole process of actually opening this arcade.
Yeah, we're still quite early on. But at the moment, we've got, speaking specifically on retro games, we've got Pac-Mania, Miss Pac-Man, Phoenix, Gauntlet.
And that was the classic four-player Gauntlet, the original. You have got the follow-up downstairs, which we did see.
That's right, that's like a 3D isometric kind of version that came out later.
You've also got Frogger as well?
Yep, Frogger as well. And that is really, in terms of the true retro games, and then they're a bit more modern. We've got Daytona there, a few sort of shooting games like Target Terror, Crisis Zone, a couple of dance machines we've got. We've got Dancing Stage.
And I see as well you've got some beautiful pinball machines as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, some of these are really quite classic pieces. We've got Gorgar there, which apparently was the first talking pinball machine. Star Trek is a really nice machine there. Firepower. Xenon is probably my personal favourite. I just like the artwork and the design of it, the mirrored glass and everything, and the the chrome effects.
That was one of the things that I was talking about this off the podcast before. We were talking about the artwork in some of these machines, you know. It's really amazing how each of them have got their own character because of the artwork. What's your view on the whole thing then, Dean?
I think it's going to be a good venue. It's definitely the right size. You know, 5 pinball machines at the moment. Everyone, when we've been going to retro events with arcade sections, the pinball section's always been very popular. Like John says, he's got a few of the proper classic arcade games, and he's got more coming.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I can see a lot of potential here.
What are the other machines then that you're actually going to sort of like to bring in? Will you be bringing games like Street Fighter 2, which was one of the best classic beat 'em ups ever?
Yeah, well, it's not for the want of trying. It's more trying to get hold of proper retro machines that are in good enough condition to allow the public to come in and spend money on, basically. So we don't want to rip anybody off. So we've come across quite a lot of machines. The problem is getting one that's good enough. A few of them we've taken a bit of a risk and we've bought them and then tried to revive them.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-Mania is a good story.
Yeah.
That didn't take too much to get up and running. Gauntlet, unfortunately. We'd probably got that a week or so after we secured the property.
Yeah.
But it's sat around for about 5 weeks waiting for parts and things like that.
But it must be such an amazing feeling. Some of these machines aren't working and then you bring them back to life and all of a sudden you get that magic moment and it's just there.
Well, it is an awesome feeling. You know, even if it's not working properly, for me, it's the nostalgia of it and everything is pretty strong.
You have got that dream job that we're so jealous of you, aren't we, Dean?
Yeah,
completely
definitely,
jealous.
What I wanted to ask was, what sort of problems are you having with the machines? You know, what are the main faults you're finding with them?
It's old technology, so it's things like corrosion of circuits and plugs and cabling. It's simple things like blown fuses. It's stuff like ROM chips that have had their day and we got to find new ones or replace boards. They're all using, of course, the old cathode ray tubes, which aren't as reliable as flat screen TVs are now. So
what's your background with all this? Do you fix machines yourself? Do you know enough about them to do it, or do you get someone else to do it for you?
Well, we have a dedicated technician who knows about these things inside out and back to front. I used to work in IT, so there are things I can do, like the stuff kind of like from the 1990s and onwards.
Yeah.
Most of it's PC driven anyway.
Right.
Like Target Terror actually is a PC inside a cab.
Oh wow! Nice.
And the dance machine in the other room again is a PC. So it's fairly straightforward to put that back together and find what's wrong with it. It's the older classic stuff, like Daytona, for example. Although it is sort of technically a PC, when it goes wrong to fix it, it's a soldering job, really.
Yeah.
It's taking out capacitors and things like that, and that's a little bit too far for me. So we've got a special guy we call in for that sort of thing.
Right, the other question I wanted to find out, you've got some beautiful arcade machines here, but what are the dream machines that you want to get here? What are the ones that you might have?
We're looking for Tron, we're looking for Star Wars, we're looking for Defender, we're looking for Space Invaders, pretty much, you know, anything really that's in good condition or in a reasonably good price and is almost in good enough condition so that we only need to do a bit of work on it and get it up and running. Once we open, and we're making a bit of money and we're surviving, then we can relax a little bit and start looking at machines that we can afford to spend time on and bring them up to spec, because obviously right now we haven't opened and business is a little bit we're a bit nervous and we're worried we're going to make a loss before we even open.
But to be honest with you, I think it's such an amazing sort of, the venue size is perfect, you know, you've got loads of space, loads of room, the machines you've got already and a nice selection, and that's one of the things you were saying, you want to cater for everyone.
Absolutely, yeah. We can't really afford to target one particular audience, although we ourselves are avid retro fans.
Yeah.
we do realise that there are a lot of people who are going to want to play games, and they're not going to get the 80s retro vibe because they're not old enough. So we are going to have more modern machines in here as well, which is why we've got things like Crisis Zone and things like that. So people can come along, they'll be able to buy a drink or snack from the bar.
Oh yeah, so you were saying about that, the bar.
That's
like,
right.
How big is that bar going to be? You said it was going to surround a certain area.
Yeah, it's going to be like, at the moment the plan is to have like a big L-shaped bar,
right.
Selling you know, food and drink. So you can come along, buy a snack, have a drink, sit down, have a chat with your mates, play a game of pool or a machine, and just basically chill out.
Yeah, I think it's just something that's missing nowadays, Dean. Don't you agree? It's like when you were younger, you used to go to these things, hang out with your friends, and we'll discuss in this off podcast actually, but how we don't get that anymore now with gamers. It's all done through the internet, or
yeah,
you don't
absolutely
really get that too.
Multiplayer games now, everything's done online. Whereas when I was a kid growing up, I'd go into an arcade with friends, we'd have a game, maybe Gauntlet, where there's four of us around a machine. You're talking, you're having a laugh. It's a lot more social than I find online gaming is.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
All right. The other thing, okay, you're a retro gamer. It's like, what? How did you get into gaming? What was the first system you owned, and so on?
Blimey. Well, yeah, I didn't get to go to arcades that much when I was younger, because I lived out in the countryside, out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So it was all the home systems. The first thing I had. It was probably a ZX Spectrum.
Yes! Beautiful system. Which one, 48 or 128?
I had a 48, and then I got the 128 Plus, which had the tape deck built into the end of it.
Well, what were your favourite games then, for ZX Spectrum then?
I used to love Carrier Command. I used to love Werewolves of London.
Yeah.
Which you reviewed. Did they bring Xenon out on the...
I think they did.
Yeah.
It was as good as it could have been on the 8-bit system.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't going to compete with, you know, the 16-bit system, but...
R-Type. I loved R-Type.
R-Type's all-time classic. That's one of the systems I'd love to see in this arcade.
Yeah.
R-Type, because it's such a beautiful machine, and it's aged fantastically, I think, the gameplay.
Yeah.
So where did you move on then, from the ZX Spectrum?
So, yeah, it was a ZX Spectrum... I had a Sword M5 as well. Do you remember the Sword M5?
No. Actually, Steve Benway has been covering that recently.
What's that exactly? For myself and for listeners.
It was a Japanese computer that I think saw a release over here by GCL.
Right.
CGL, whatever they were called. That's right, yeah. It was cartridge-based. I think there was a tape deck available for it, but to load a game up by tape, you actually had to put a cartridge in first. Because it had such low memory, you needed the memory to be plugged in. Basically, that's what the cartridge was. So, yeah.
Okay, then. All right. First things I noticed when we walked in, actually, even though it's not completely open, but with the machines you've got, like, around the place, it's already bringing that bit of nostalgia back to me, you know? It's just, I can just imagine it, walking through the doors, hearing the music of the games, and it really takes me back to when I was younger. Certain games that have stood out for me were games like Robocop or 720, where the music just played along. It's just something that's hard to recapture nowadays, really.
I think the thing with consoles, because I've still got consoles and I've got a PlayStation 3, and I dare say I'll get the PlayStation 4 when it comes out. But I don't think any of them have quite managed to replicate the social aspect, and that's what's missing. I mean, you can go and play online, sure, and I do that and shoot friends regularly online, but people are a lot braver when they're not face-to-face with someone.
Yeah.
And when you actually go and play face-to-face on a fighting game in an arcade, it's a very different experience, and I think people will miss that. And people miss the things that machines can bring in an arcade that you can't get at home, like on Miss Pac-Man, the little stick for moving your character is gated.
Right.
So it will work really well with just that one game.
Yeah.
But it's not really going to work at home on a console system. It's just the feel and everything. I mean, the pinball machines are a good example, because you can actually kind of feel the cab move as the ball whizzes around inside the cab, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the kind of tactile kind of experiences you just don't get at home, so that's kind of what we want to bring to people.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. But you have got the dream job. How did you find yourself then, sort of like trying to get everything up and running and stop yourself out of that game?
Yeah, well, obviously at the moment we're just spending money and not making anything until we open. But I'm actually going to be managing the place for Paul.
Yeah.
But right now I'm managing, but I'm also doing all the DIY and some of the electrics and fixing some of the machines and also doing the vacuuming and making the tea and pretty much anything that needs doing, to be honest.
Putting your own blood and sweat into it.
Oh, yeah.
That's good, though. You know, it shows a true labour of love in that.
Yeah.
So what do you think that the youngsters will think of some of these machines?
That's a very good question. I don't know. It kind of makes you question what really is retro gaming. I think even kids who didn't grow up in the 80s, I think they're going to come along and I think they will be hooked once they've played something from the 80s, because it's the playability of these things. Yeah. It's
the experience
about the
as well. It's like, as you were saying, you know, playing on an actual arcade machine is such a different feeling to from playing at home in front of your TV.
Yeah.
The controls are different. The atmosphere is different.
Mm.
You know, these arcade games, if you try and emulate them at home, it's never quite the same. You don't get that same experience. And, you know, I know I keep mentioning it, different retro events throughout the UK that me and Andy have been to. These events, they're quite family-based these days, and people are bringing along their kids, and they seem to love it. They really do.
Especially the little kids, just amazed by control of it, because it's so easy to get into, and it's just hard to put down as well. And it's like we're talking about the arcades. Each arcade has got its own personality, its own art, its own sounds, its own look, controls. So
I think the younger audience, you know, will once they've tried it, will get hooked.
Yeah, certainly hope so.
Well, John, thank you very much for taking the time showing us around. We've really enjoyed it. Can't wait for it to actually open. We'll certainly be plugging it every week on the podcast. I can't wait, to be honest. You won't be able to get rid of me, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm here all the time, just hanging out by the door.
Anytime you want. Yeah, you can. If you're looking on our Facebook page, as soon as we open, we'll make a big announcement on our Facebook page.
That's a few things, then. Is there anything you want to sort of plug in? What is your Facebook page?
If you just do a search for Lucky Sevens or Lucky 777, it should come up in the list. Obviously based in Southend.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're coming up like second or third on the list.
What is the address, so that way if people can find us?
If you want to physically come and find us, it's 2C South Church Road, Southend.
And it's easy to get to. It's a great location. It's not difficult to spot.
Mm.
And you're right in the middle of the whole town centre. So
easy to get to. You've got Southend Victoria plus Southend Central close by. So
plenty of parking. If you're going shopping, you can combine it with a trip to playing some retro games.
Bring your wife along, send her to do some clothes shopping, pop up into the arcade to keep yourself busy.
Yes, it.
All right, thanks very much, John, for that.
No problem.
You enjoyed that. Did you enjoy that?
I enjoyed that. In fact, I enjoyed that interview so much it felt like I was there.
Oh, I'll tell you what then, Dean. Now, today's episode's been a little bit chaotic. Or what's the word to describe it?
Noisy?
A bit noisy. We've had a baby crying. We've had the phone ring. We've had the window cleaner.
The dustman.
This Retro Asylum studio needs some soundproofing, methinks.
It does, and I hope you realise how many visitors your wife's getting during the day while you're at work.
Right, so, what do you want to talk about to round the show up then, Dean?
I don't know, really. Any donations, send my way, because I'm punts. No,
let's talk about sponsors, actually.
The site could do some sponsors.
Well, we've had a number of different sponsors.
We've been very lucky.
Let me thank these guys, actually. Yeah. Let me bring out me phone and read them out, because you guys have really helped us out. So I can't afford to do this. And my chair's squeaking now, making loads of noises. Not me farting or passing wind. Bear with me. Go on, Dean, fill some airtime. Sing us a song.
I can't sing. We need Glenn.
Should we do a name of the game before we round the show up?
We should, though, I think.
All right, before we round the show up, then, think of a game, then, Dean. We'll do name the game.
Right, the game. I thought of my game.
You thought of your game?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so for our listeners who have never heard this before, the way this works is a Dean thinks of a game, and he can only answer in yes or no. Now, recently, this has popped up in another podcast, a very good podcast called Nintendo Sushi, but they've called it Bew's Clues. They've paid an homage to us.
Definitely. I mean, they would never rip us off.
No, not at all. Now, great guys. Right, so anyway, was it an arcade game?
Yes.
Was it made by Capcom?
No.
Sega?
No.
Nintendo?
No.
Atari?
No.
Midway?
No.
God, who else was there? Was it a beat 'em up?
No.
A shoot 'em up?
No. Well, actually, yes, it was a
shoot 'em up. It was a shoot 'em up. R-Type?
No.
Salamander?
No.
Gorf?
No.
Galga?
No.
Was it that game that was in the arcade today?
No.
Thank God for that.
I'm not that sure. What it's called.
Right. Was it horizontal or vertical? No, horizontal.
No.
Vertical?
Yes.
Was it spaceship?
No, actually, horizontal. I'm getting my...
Yeah, vertical is like... No, horizontal is like a horizon.
Yeah.
That's the way I remember.
Yeah.
Did it feature spaceships?
One spaceship.
One spaceship.
And other bits flying towards you.
Right. Xenon?
No, not Xenon.
All right, because I know there was an arcade thing for that. Was there?
Yeah, it was.
Right. Not 1943?
No. Actually, I'm getting my vertical and horizontal mixed up. It's like R-Type.
Okay, that's horizontal shooting.
Yeah,
up
horizontal.
Then. What else is there? Okay. I need a clue, Dean.
I need a clue. Very early game. There's a clue.
Very early game.
Very
Scramble.
Early. Yes!
You've done this already, haven't you?
Have I done Scramble?
Yeah, you're running out of ideas, Dean. Alright, so let me think of a game then. Now, guys, anyway, like we mentioned before, I want to plug out a few podcasts, actually, before I think of a game. I'm trying to buy some time here. Listen to the Nintendo Sushi podcast. Really nice guys. We met them at Revival. Really, really chatty, full of energy. Not like us old gits. They're not quite as handsome as us, but you know what? They're really damn good. And, you know, look, give them a listen. Leave them an iTunes review as well.
Not quite as original as us either, are
Yeah, who else should they listen to? Retro Gaming Roundup, our friends. Retro Gaming Roundup.
Yeah. Just remember to come back, though, because we don't suggest a load of podcasts and you prefer them to us.
Actually, before I think of a game, Dean, I'm going slightly off topic, but that's the thing about the retro gaming community. We're all so different. They're a lot more serious, Retro Gaming Roundup.
Yeah, yes.
We're a little bit more nostalgic-based. Then Nintendo Sushi have got youth on their side. And there's another podcast.
And they haven't got a squeaky seat.
Yeah.
Stay still, man.
And then they've got Retrograde. It's another podcast.
Yeah. They're all great. Have they?
Yeah, they've got a girl.
We need to wheel out a retro granny to get on our show.
Well, no. We just get you or Glenn to wear a wig.
Hello. My name's Zara.
Zara.
I like video games.
So if you want to hear more from Zara, please let us know.
I used to own an Atari.
What are we on today, Dean?
I don't know. There ain't enough air in this room or
it's
something.
It's not. I should open up a window.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there many girls out there who played the ZX Spectrum and C64? I should imagine there was loads, but are they still into games?
Do they still listen to the show?
Yeah, if you're a female listener, please let us know, because some pervert out there would love to hear you.
Yeah, why not? You could always produce a calendar, you know, for the female market.
Female market?
Yeah. Well, maybe the guy market.
I'm sure the male market would like to see
sort
a
of like,
female.
You know like what they do with the firemen sometimes, posing?
Yeah.
But I can be January, you can be whatever.
Oh, dear.
December, dress you up as an Eskimo, keep your clothes on you, mate.
You'd make a good Carnov if you used to go...
Yeah, alright, let's have a look. God, this podcast is all over the place today.
Yeah, you're going to have trouble editing this one.
No, I'm going to keep it raw, keep it exciting. So anyway, let me think of a game then before I mention the sponsors. Right, I thought of a game. Can you name the game, Dean?
Let's give it a try. Was it an arcade game?
It was. You're looking at my phone in case it's right there.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not, you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure, mate.
So it doesn't feature a gun and it's not Operation Wolf.
It's not Operation Wolf.
Was it by Capcom?
Nope, it wasn't by Capcom.
Was it by Taito?
It was not by Taito.
Sega?
It was not by Sega.
IREM?
Not by IREM. Come on, IREM.
Come on. Blimey. What publishers are there? Data East?
Not Data East.
Who else is there? I'm trying to think. Konami?
Nope.
My mind's gone blank, which it bloody would do, wouldn't it? Was it a shoot-em-up?
It wasn't a shoot-em-up.
Was it a beat-em-up?
No.
Platformer?
No.
Wasn't a shoot-em-up, wasn't a platformer, wasn't a beat-em-up.
It had elements of
racing
shooting.
Game?
It had elements of shooting, but it's not a shooting per se.
Platform-come-shooter?
No, it's not a platformer.
Oh, blimey.
Do you want a clue?
Yes, please.
Atari. Atari arcade game, which got converted to the 8-bit systems and pretty much every system out there known to mankind.
Indiana Jones?
No. Would you like another clue? I'm going to be kind.
Gauntlet.
No, it wasn't Gauntlet.
You're not just
Gauntlet.
Changing your mind.
No,
or
it's not.
No.
I'll give you a clue.
Paperboy.
Yes, that's it. Paperboy. Right, so yeah, let's round this show up. Let's say thank you to a few people. I want to thank Joystick Traders, Anthony Ogden, Darren, Stelios, Baby Duck Games, and Captain Blood 7. They have been our sponsors for this month's podcast. Thank you very much for putting up for this episode.
Yeah, apologies if it's blah, 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 been all over the place, but...
I don't think we should record in the same room, mate.
No? Did I put you off?
Yeah, I think you do have to.
I'm actually stroking Andy's knee right now, and he's getting a bit funny about
That's the reason why it was getting a bit sort of like stuffy in this room.
It's you. Right. It's your heavy breathing.
It is my heavy breathing. Right, so iTunes love.
iTunes love.
Yeah, people need to leave us some iTunes love.
Yeah, we need some more reviews, because at the moment, we're not feeling the love.
We've got 84 iTunes reviews now. We have got one. I can't find it on my iPhone. It's going to take forever, but thank you very much to the last person that left us that review. Really, really nice.
Yeah.
Really helps us get noticed. Please, if you haven't already, leave us an iTunes review.
And guys, spread the word. You know, we've got plenty of listeners now, but we want more.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
It's been hectic.
Good night, Tomboy. White buttons and two joysticks. Neo Geo, Neo Geo. Cool red cabinet name that fits. Neo Geo, Neo Geo. Four white buttons and two joysticks. Neo Geo, Neo Geo. Cool red cabinet name that fits. No one quite can do the fighters like you can. No one quite can run and gunning like you can. No one quite can puzzle bobble like you can. Always up my four-stop model, cause I play that cat 4 hours and then to the point where that thing was my only friend. With a heavy machine gun in my hand, I beat meth over and over again. 32 bits of endless fun, you're a 1990 revolution. You're ahead in the game, you are the best. You're the SNK, king of MVS. You're an attractive machine in a pretty red dress. When I'm playing as my, I wanna give you a kiss. Forget Chun-Li, when the G-Ren you reach a Nazi out with those big ninja beats. God, Samurai Showdown Digital God, when you're playing against my ninja.
God, that's gonna be fun editing.
Yeah, No Plan, Squeaky Chair, Dustman, Window Cleaner,
Baby Crying,
Baby, Squeaky Chair again, and No Air.
And Zara?
Zara, yeah!
Well, she's got a different voice this time. I'm just trying to think of...
I'll tell you, why don't you introduce it? Okay. My name's Zara, I listen to the Retro Zara podcast.
Hello, my name. Hello, my name's Zara. I'm a retro gaming geek, and I've got a great figure too. You can just imagine where I put my paddles and joysticks.
All right.
Anyone wants to play some multiplayer with me, get in touch.
Can you imagine?
My name's George.
George.
And by the way, if you can hear beeping, it is the dustman outside.
It is, yeah, so yeah.
Great timing.
Couldn't time it better anyway. Sorry, Edding. I had it spit out.
Yep.
Hello? Yeah, sure. Give me 1 second. I'll be down in a second. Be back in a sec, Dave.
No problem.
You can fill in some airtime, do a little song or something.
Oh dear, what can I say? We could do the Glen game. We get called Glen game. Glen's tape loading errors.
Still the window cleaner?
Yep. All the bits that Glen messes up, which is quite a bit. I'm saying harsh, but Terminator and stuff like that.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dean.
I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the trouble. Oh, dear. I'm going to have to go soon, because otherwise my wife is going to kick my ass. What can I say? Not much. I can't say much, so here's some... That's my son, George, laughing. Here you go, listen to that.
Dean, what time do you have to shoot off?
Probably within the next half hour.
Alright, we'll round up WrestleMania, then we'll talk about the arcade you won't see.
Yep.
Then we'll talk about we've done an interview.
Okay, mate. Silence is golden. So, Pitfall 2.
Retromania.
So,
what is your view? I mean, like,